So I hope you guys really got the picture for what this skit was trying to communicate. And this really is based on a true painting called The American Family at Dinner. And it shows a family just like this, with a lot of prosperity at one end, a lot of poverty at the other end. And you would look at that painting, you would say, no way. Nowhere in America would that be true. We either share our poverty or we share our prosperity, right? But if you called it the human family at dinner, it would be exactly right. Well, let's even look at that in terms of the gospel. Here in the United States, and I remember when I went as a missionary to Kenya, I had family members say to me, why do you got to go all the way over to Kenya? There's people right here that need to hear about Jesus. And I had a bad attitude. I was like, then you tell them, because you're staying. You know, and the truth is, I was like, you know, here in America, they can hear if they want to hear. There's radio stations, TV stations. You drive for 10 minutes and you'll pass 10 churches just about. So there's opportunity here. Meanwhile, there are people around the world that don't even have an opportunity to hear about Jesus. The Bible calls Jesus the bread of life. And we've got like this buffet here of opportunities to hear the gospel. Meanwhile, there are people around the world starving for their first slice of the bread of life. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't look like this spiritually, but it does. Now, I want to share something with you just in the next couple of minutes, and we've still got another skit or two we're going to show you, but I want to share something with you that's one of my favorite examples or illustrations to use right now. And so some of you that know me really well are probably like, oh, that again, he loves that one. But I do love this one. And I love sports. Any of you guys like sports? Okay. Well, I love just about any kind of sport, except for curling. You know that thing to do in the Olympics? It's entertaining, but I don't really know why that's a sport. It looks like they're doing household chores. You know, they're sweeping and stuff. Anyway, but baseball and every sport has like its like thing that everybody's interested in. In basketball, you've got the slam dunk, right? Everybody has slam dunk contests. In football, you've got the Hail Mary pass. In hockey, you've got the slap shot. And in baseball, you have the fastball. Right, when you watch a baseball game on TV and the pitcher throws the ball, the first thing you want to see is how fast was it? You watch the clock. If you go over here to see the Jacksonville Suns, is that what they're called now? Okay, they've changed their name a couple times. The Jacksonville Suns, you watch the clock and see how fast it was, right? It's called the fastball. Well, baseball, Major League Baseball, puts millions of dollars into their sport. And so they do a lot of research because they want to maximize the experience for everybody. And so they hired this team of physics experts, physicists, to study the physics of baseball. And actually, one of the guys, his name is Robert Adair. He was a professor of physics at Yale University. Him and his team did research on the physics of baseball. In fact, there's a book that you can buy on Amazon called The Physics of Baseball. And in The Physics of Baseball, Robert Adair proved this. We're going to show you this. He proved scientifically, this is the brightest minds in the country, Robert Adair, a professor of physics at Yale, proved that it is scientifically not possible for a human being to hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. He said it cannot happen. It takes 200 milliseconds for a human to capture the image in the air. It takes 100 milliseconds to make a decision whether you want to swing the bat or not, and 150 milliseconds to execute the swing. It takes 450 milliseconds for a human being to hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball traveling 60 and a half feet from pitcher's mound to home plate. Here's the problem. It takes a 90-mile-an-hour my 90-mile-an-hour fastball, 400 milliseconds to reach home plate. So he proved scientifically that it is not possible for a human to hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. They went over their research again and again and again, and they said, our research is sound. It should not happen. How many of you believe that, though? One person. Okay, watch baseball. If you watch baseball, you have seen a person hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. In fact, we've seen people hit 95-mile-an-hour fastball, 97-mile-an-hour fastball, and so has he. And he said, we can't explain it. It should not happen. It's not possible. We can't explain it, but he also said, but we can't deny it. It does happen. So the point is, can we turn the smoke off for a second? Sorry, I'm a little bit ADD. I get distracted by things like, I can't see you. It's like fog. Cut through the fog. So where was I? Baseball. Yes, I know. Okay. So here's what I was going to say. There's a place between what is unexplainable, thank you, and what is undeniable. We can't explain it, but we can't deny it. The place is a place of personal experience. See, we all have had a personal experience that would say, it happens. I can't explain why it happens, but I can't deny that it does happen. And this is what happens in our faith. We have a personal experience with God. And you can't always explain everything, but you can't deny, I met Jesus and he changed my life. When you read the Gospels, you see person after person after person, people that were healed by Jesus, people whose lives were changed by Jesus, and they would bring him out and they would say, how did this happen to you? And they would say, I don't know. I met Jesus and he healed me. You explain it. You're the theologian. I just can't explain it, but all I know is I'm different now. I met him. Right? So that's that personal experience. Here's what we're talking about tonight. This is what needs to happen for every single one of us when it comes to the Great Commission. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now, this is not like an afterthought, like Jesus had spent all this time with the disciples, and then all of a sudden, right before he ascends to heaven, he's on his way up, and he goes, oh, hold on a second, and he comes back down, and he goes, by the way, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's not what happened. It was more like what we do every single month at Youthquake Live. We've done this show, and we've done these skits and these videos and dance and music, and then one of us, me or Blake or somebody else, will come out at the end of the night, and we do what we call tie the knot. And we say, look, in case you've missed it, here's what we've been trying to say all night. And that's what's going on here with Jesus at the Great Commission. It's like from Genesis all the way through Jesus' life, the things that he said, the things that he did, here at the very end, right before he ascends, he said, in case you missed it, here's your purpose. You don't need a book called The Purpose-Driven Church. Now, I understand that that's been a useful book, but Jesus gave us our purpose. He said, here is your purpose. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. It was the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. And then in the book of Isaiah, you see him responding and with a personal response. When God's calling him, he says, here am I, send me. What we're trying to say tonight is make it personal. Don't say, God, send somebody. Say, God, send me. Here I am, Lord, wherever you want me to go. If it's across the street here in Jacksonville, or if it's over to Uganda, or if it's over to China, here I am, send me. That's what we're talking about tonight. Right? God's heart, when you read the Bible, God's heart is for the nations of the world. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. I'm going to read a few verses to you. You guys with me so far? Okay. It said, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. A lot of you are going to hear a call just like that tonight. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And so here's basically what he goes on to say. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So in other words, he's saying, I've blessed you so that you can be a blessing to the nations. The blessing isn't about you. Here we are in America, man. We're so blessed, and we're spending the blessing on ourselves. And he said, no, I've blessed you so you could be a blessing to the nations. God's heart is for the nations of the world. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46. You guys know this story. This is David and Goliath. You guys heard of the story? David and Goliath, right? David, this little boy, goes out and he kills this giant. And I wish I had time to preach that message, because I wish Mel Gibson would make that movie. Because he goes over after he knocks the giant down with his stone, with his slingshot, the giant falls down. He goes over and picks up the giant sword and he cuts off his head. And then he picks his head up. I want to see that movie. And he shows it to the Philistines like this, blood still dripping down, man, you know. His eyes are probably, you know, and he's like, and he points at the Philistines. And the Bible says they looked at that and they fled, man. They ran. And listen to this. Here's what it says. Here's what David said. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down and cut off your head. This is the Bible. This very day I will give your carcass of all the Philistine army to the birds of the wild animals, and the whole world will know there's a God in Israel. So why do we defeat the giants? See, we hear this stuff a lot, and we hear, look, man, you can defeat the giants in your life too. That's true. But what's the purpose? Is it just so you can be, you know, feel good about yourself, so you defeated the giants in your life? Here's the whole purpose. So that the whole world will know there's a God in Israel. Again, God's heart for the nations of the world. It's not just about us. It's about the world. In Daniel chapter 3, you guys know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Three young Hebrew men, young men, Scholars believe between 17 and 21 years old. These men took a stand for their faith, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. The king said, if you don't bow down and worship these false gods, he didn't call them false gods, but it's, if you don't bow down and worship this God that I've created, then I'm going to throw you into this furnace. And they said to this king, they said, king, now you talk about peer pressure, none of us have ever faced anything like this. The king, in front of all of his officials, in front of the whole nation, in a fiery furnace, and the king is saying, bow or you go in the furnace. And they said, king, our God is able to save us from that fire. But even if he does not, we're not going to bow. The king was so mad, he ordered it cranked up 7 times hotter than it had ever been cranked up, threw them in there. The men who threw them in there died from the heat. And he looks in and he sees them just like walking around. They're just like walking around. They had the swag. They had the swag. I mean, and then the king looked in again. He said, hold on. We threw 3 people in, but I see 4. Most scholars believe that would be a pre-incarnation experience of Jesus in the fire with those men. And the king goes, hey, come back out, come out. And it says they walked out and the ropes were burned off and they did not even smell like smoke. You ever been camping? Man, you can't get around a campfire and you don't smell like smoke. They came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. So what happened? So the king says this, therefore, verse 29, therefore I decree that the people of any nation and language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble. For there is no God that can save this way. Again, it wasn't just about saving Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire because they refused to bow. It's so that God got glory in all the world. What we're trying to say tonight is God's heart is for the nations of the world. Revelation chapter 7, you see it again, and that's the end of the book. And it says there around the throne were people from every tribe, every nation, every language. God's dream fulfilled. God's heart from Genesis to Revelation is for the whole world. What we're talking about tonight is taking it personal. A personal responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission. God has a plan for you, and it definitely has something to do with reaching the world. Now, I want to do something a little bit different tonight. I want to read you a story, if you don't mind. And this is a short story, and it's a true story about a man named William Borden. He was born in 1904. William Borden graduated from Chicago High School, and he is the heir to the Borden family fortune. He was already wealthy. For his high school graduation present, his parents gave 16-year-old Borden a trip around the world. As the young man traveled through Asia, the Middle East, and Europe, he felt a growing burden for the world's hurting people. Finally, Bill Borden wrote home about his desire to become a missionary. He was feeling called by God as a 16-year-old to be a missionary. Some of you may be hearing that tonight. And he wrote home about it. One of his friends expressed disbelief that Bill was throwing himself away as a missionary. He was a millionaire. His family was very wealthy. He was set up for life. And they're like, you're going to throw that away and go be a missionary? And even though young Borden was wealthy, he arrived on the campus of Yale University in 1905 trying to look like just one more freshman. Very quickly, though, his classmates noticed something unusual about him. And it wasn't that he had a lot of money. One of them wrote, he came to college far ahead of any of us spiritually. He had already given his heart in full surrender to Christ, and he had really done it. Some of you need to surrender to Christ tonight and really do it. Some of you have done it before, but not really done it. We need to really surrender to him tonight. He wrote this in his journal. This is one of his entries. Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time. That's what he's saying now as an 18-year-old student. Borden's first disappointment at Yale came when the university president spoke in a convocation about the students' need to have a fixed purpose in their life. After the speech, he wrote, he neglected to say what that purpose should be and where we should get the ability to persevere and have strength to resist temptation. He was saying, you can't have purpose without Jesus. You can't understand God's purpose for life, your life, apart from a relationship with God. So he writes in his journal, no reserves. Actually, he wrote this in the back of his Bible, three words, no reserves. You guys, we have a phrase that we talk about when you go, when you play football or you're playing basketball, I say, leave everything on the court, leave everything on the field, no reserves. That's what he was saying. For my life, no reserves. I'm not holding anything back. Jesus, I'm giving you everything, no reserves. Say no to self every time and yes to Jesus every time, no reserves. Upon his graduation from Yale, he turned down some high-paying job offers. And in his Bible, he wrote two more words. No retreats. So in the back of his Bible, it says no reserves. Right underneath, it says no retreats. William Borden went on to graduate, and he went to do his graduate work at Princeton Seminary in New Jersey. And when he finished his studies at Princeton, he sailed for China because he was hoping to work with the Muslims. He stopped first in Egypt to study Arabic. While he was there, he contracted spinal meningitis, and with a month, 25-year-old William Borden was dead. When news about his death began to be talked about in the U.S., just about every news outlet covered it. They found his Bible when they went to collect all of his things and bring him home, and in the Bible there were three more words: no regrets. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. Here's what happened. Was his life a waste? 25-year-old Bill Borden, who died in Egypt pursuing his call to be a missionary, when news spread about that back in the United States, it inspired a movement of young missionaries. I'll take Bill's place. I'll take Bill's place. I'll take Bill's place. I'll take personal responsibility like Bill did to fulfill the Great Commission. Will you? That's what tonight's show is about. Throughout history, in the Bible and throughout history, there have been people that have been martyred for their faith. They took it as a personal mandate. That doesn't mean if you become a missionary, you're going to be a martyr. But it means that your attitude needs to be no reserves, no retreats, no surrender. No regrets. People don't die for something that they know is a lie. Why was it important for you to understand about those disciples of Jesus and how they died? The same guys that had walked with him, the same guys that saw him do miracles when he was crucified, they ran away afraid. But something changed. Jesus rose from the dead and they saw it. It was real. They knew it was real, and it changed the way they lived. And that's why they were willing to go to their death preaching the gospel, because it was real. These guys, all of these guys, the disciples and all the ones that you just heard about, they took the Great Commission as a personal mandate with an understanding this life is temporary anyway. This life is brief. It's a vapor. Here one moment, gone the next. We don't need to waste our lives on stuff that doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that if you become a missionary that you become a martyr, but it means that you lay down your life. Maybe for you, being a martyr is a daily deal, like the daughter of the pastor that was killed in Colombia when she said, sometimes it's harder to live for him than die for him. Tonight we're saying, will you make a personal commitment to making the Great Commission a personal mandate for you? There's three ways that you can do this. Number one is you can pray. Jesus said, quoting the book of Isaiah, that my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. In fact, he came into a synagogue one time and he flipped over all the tables and he ran everybody out. He's like, you've missed it. You've turned the house of God into a market. Sounds like a lot of Christianity right now in America. We've learned how to market Jesus. We've turned the house of God into a market. And he said, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. We need to be praying for people around the world. It starts there. Pray for the nations of the world. That's one way you can be involved right now, no matter how old you are. You may be 8, 18, 28, 38, whatever you may be. You can be involved right now by praying for the nations. I'm going to show you a website that you can go to. It's called operationworld.org. This has a daily, you can go on that website, and every day it'll have a people group somewhere that you can pray for. You can join with thousands of people around the world and be praying for those unreached people groups. Second thing you can do is send. You can pray, you can send, and you can go. You can send missionaries. In Romans chapter 10, it says, how can they hear the gospel if no one goes and preaches to them? And how can someone go preach to them if no one sends them? So we need to pray, and we need to send people. There was a man that was a great Christian leader and a missionary for over 50 years, and he was from Palestine. His name was Casadier, and he passed away some years ago. But his personal mission was to touch every nation, either in person or by purse, either by going there or by sending money there. We can be involved right now. We can take the Great Commission personally right now by praying, by giving. Like Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Man, find out what missionaries your church is supporting. Find out what orphanage your church is supporting. And you start giving money to those places. And then finally, you can go. Take the gospel where it's never been before. Matthew 28:19. And you can go right now this summer on a mission trip. And let me just tell you, a lot of us are seeking adventure. And that's why we go to, like, amusement parks. And we like to ride roller coasters so we can feel like we're about to die but know that we're safe. We're seeking all these different ways to get adventure. We like to watch men movies, you know, movies for guys who like movies. We like those kind of adventure movies that make us feel like something. You know, what are we really seeking? We're seeking that sense of adventure that God put inside of us. And when you follow Jesus with all of your heart, it will be the adventure that you've always desired. You should go on a short-term mission trip while you're young, because maybe that's the very vehicle that God's going to use to call you to go and be a missionary permanently. Or maybe it's just going to do something that's going to change the way you live when you come back by going and experiencing something like that around the world. And I promise you, it will blow your mind. You will do things that you never imagined you could do. And you will eat things you never imagined you can eat. But don't let that hold you back. I mean, hey, you're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to come back with some great stories. You're going to come back with some amazing stories. And I hadn't planned to share this story, but it's popping into my head, so I'm just going to go with it. There was years ago, we were on a mission trip down in, I think we were like in Dominican Republic. And we're in this very rural area. They had no running water, no electricity. And we had a bunch of teenagers with us, and we were trying to get them all to go and invite people to come and see the drama we were going to do. And so we had this one kid in our group. He used to be in Youthquake, and he was like this really wild, wiry, energetic, Ace Ventura, Jim Carrey kind of person, you know? And he was always like getting into something. And I said, hey, Ryan, why don't you go up and invite these people to come to see our drama? Now, he goes up. There's a hut. It's made out of dirt. It doesn't even have a front door. No electricity, no running water. Ryan is dressed up in a pirate costume. So here's this American teenager dressed up in a pirate costume walking up to this home in Dominican Republic that has no electricity, no running water, no front door. He walks up to invite them, and he gets up there, and we're standing down at the street watching to see what he's going to do. And when he sees there's no door, he doesn't know what to do because he was planning on knocking on the door. So he doesn't know what to do, and there's no, you know, doorbell. So he just leans his head in their house, and he goes, ding dong. And I told our translator, I'm like, get up there, get up. He's going to get killed. I mean, imagine the people sitting in that house. All they know is they look over, and they see this American teenager with paint all over him, dressed up like a pirate, going ding dong. They don't even know what ding dong is. They don't have doorbells. And it was wild how, you know what, that whole family came to the drama. You never know how God's going to use it. And the chickens were chasing him. And they were laughing at this little American that's running away from a chicken. Like, he's chicken of a chicken? I mean, really? You're going to come back with some great stories. Going on a mission trip is the adventure you've always wanted. Here's the thing. Here's what makes it like following Jesus is like a really good movie. It has a save the world plot, and it's a lot of fun. Right? Like Star Wars. Just had to throw that out there. It's got this save the galaxy plot and a lot of fun. Or pick whatever your favorite movie is, but not really. That's the best one. Here's what we're trying to say. Follow Jesus with all your heart. It'll be the adventure that you've been seeking. He'll blow your mind with the things that will happen. You'll have more fun than you ever imagined having. But the most fun, man, the most fun is getting a chance to pray with somebody that's never received Jesus before. And you see that thing inside of them come alive when they realize what God has done for them. And you have an opportunity to not just pray with one person, but sometimes pray with their whole family and see Jesus change their life. That's the most fun. Youthquake Live got started as a result of a mission trip. I was a youth pastor, and I had like 10 or 12 kids in my youth group. And we decided to go on a Teen Mania mission trip. Like we've been talking to you about global expeditions. They went on this mission trip that summer, and they saw God using them to change people's lives. They saw God using them to reach people. And they came to me because I'm their youth pastor. And we got back home, and they're like, we want to do something. What can we do? We want to be committed to Jesus. We want to change the world. What can we do? And I was like, well, if you're really committed to Jesus, you can come to church Sunday and Wednesday. And they're like, that's all you got? You better come up with something else, you know? That's not going to do it. And so, man, we started praying and seeking God, and that's how the idea of Youthquake Live even got born. The very first Youthquake Live, we were standing backstage, and we had this prop. We didn't have props like this. Oh, look, that's cool. Sorry, ADD moment. They put a little sign up here. If you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space, right over the Egyptian ruins. That's awesome. But we didn't have stuff like that. Man, we had props that were put together and duct taped. And we even had a theme that God is the duct tape of Youthquake Live, right? We're standing backstage and 40 people showed up. We were so nervous. We're like, oh my gosh, there's 40 people out there. That was 18 years ago. What I'm trying to say is God used ordinary teenagers that went on a mission trip to put a vision in their heart about how they could make a difference when they came back here. We're trying to say tonight, you guys, we don't want you to miss this. God has a call on your life. He's the one that created you. He's the one that put you on this planet for such a time as this. Regardless of the circumstances around how you got to be here, God had something to do with it. And God has a purpose for your life. The Bible says that. And to understand God's purpose, you've got to know Him. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus. But He does have a purpose for you, and His purpose for you definitely has something to do with reaching the world. So here's what we want to ask you tonight. Where's Blake? Blake, you might need to come up here and help me with this. Here's what we want to ask you to do tonight. If you will commit, we're going to do a couple of different things, a little bit different, but if you'll commit to go on a mission trip this summer, in a minute we want you to stand up. And we've got a card that we're going to bring you, and you can fill it out, and then we're going to get you in contact with Teen Mania, and they'll follow up with you and get you the information that you need. But we're going to have you stand up in just a minute, and you can fill that thing out. And then in a little while, we'll have a chance for you to bring it up here and leave it at the altar. Is there more you need to say about that, Blake? That was good? You can come stand here close to me. It makes me feel better. Okay, thank you. So if you're willing to commit to go on a mission, then I walk away. Okay, if you're commit to go on a summer mission trip, we want you to really take that serious. Stand up, and we're going to bring you that card. Just go ahead and stand up right now. If you're saying, you know what, I'll commit to go this summer. Awesome. You guys just keep standing up, and we're going to bring you a card. There's more of you, man. Don't hold back. Remember, no reserves, no retreats, no regrets. Don't hold back. You know what? Don't hold back and say, but I might have to go to the mall this summer. Because that's what people do. They stay back, and they think they're going to miss out on something, going to the mall 10 times, or going to the same movie again, or going to the beach, and then your friends don't even show up, and you don't have a ride home. Forget that. No reserves, no regrets. Just go ahead and stand up. You guys can start taking cards to them. Global Expeditions will be in contact with you. Also, we're going to have on the Youthquake website, there'll be a link to Global Expeditions website in case you leave here tonight and you're like, I really should have done that. You can go on and get that information. Once you have a card, you can go ahead and sit back down, fill it out. We're going to give you a chance to respond to that in just a minute. Is there anybody else still standing that doesn't have a card? A few people down here, you guys, if you want to come down here. If we run out of cards, because I think we only had about 200, if we run out, you can go onto the website and get that information from them. Don't hold back. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. Okay, I'm going to have the band come back up. Oh, they're there. You guys can start playing. Father, we thank you right now for every single person that you're touching, God. Lord, I pray for even parents and youth pastors, chaperones that might be here tonight, God, that maybe you're even putting something on their heart about something they can do in a greater way to make the Great Commission personal, a way they can pray, sponsor an orphan, support some missionaries. God, use us to make a difference in the world. Okay, here's what we want to do. I think everybody that needed a card got one. Let's go ahead and have everybody just stand right now.
Obviously tonight, as we kind of just keep going, we're going to take a moment. We're going to worship Jesus, and we're going to lift him high above every other name. But as we've been going along, you might be saying to yourself, man, this sounds like a great adventure. This sounds like the thing I've been created to do. But I don't even know if I know God for myself. Why? How could I ever go to another country and tell somebody about God? I don't even know if he loves me. And the good news is that God loves you so much that he'd have made a way that you can know for sure, 100%, no doubt, that you're loved by him and you know him. This summer, my wife and I, we got to go to Peru. We led a trip there of about 25 teenagers with the organization that we're having you guys get hooked up with tonight if you fill out the information card. And there was one particular day we were out there doing some ministry. And there was a moment kind of like this moment right now where I was out and I was telling people about how they could know God and how God loved them and what Jesus had done for them. And in this moment, I asked, you know, if you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to come forward right now. And I'm going to do that here in just a few moments. And there was a large group came up, and this one guy came up, and he had a crutch, and he had bow legs like this. And he was sitting down, but I said, you need to come up here if you want to give your life to Jesus. He thought, man, that has to be what I got to do. So he forces himself up, and he just, you know, he slowly starts making his way over. And I'm watching this guy, and I'm like, man, that's just amazing, such faith. He's going to do whatever it takes to get here in this moment. And as I was praying with the people to give their lives to Jesus, I was like, God, I wish, please let me have an opportunity to talk to this guy. And so at the end, he was still standing there. I walked over. And through the translator, I got to know his name. I talked to him a little bit, and I asked him, I said, what happened in your life today? He said, well, today I know for sure that God loves me and that Jesus is in my heart and my sins are forgiven. And I said, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I'm so thankful. That means we're family now. And I gave him a hug. I said, you know, God loves you. Can I pray with you? He said, absolutely. And I asked if I could pray for his legs. So me and some other people from our team, we went down and we started praying for his legs. And it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life, as we prayed for him. And we watched as in about a minute, his legs went from bow-legged to straight. Then he takes his crutch and he starts lifting it above his head. He starts going like this, like in a little circle. It was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that day, he literally danced off into the distance, knowing that Jesus loved him, knowing that God was in his life. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God lets those things happen. That's like a sign, a wonder, a miracle. The Bible says that those things happen to confirm the gospel. Here's the gospel. Jesus loves you and you can know God. That's why God let that thing happen. It's a sign that if he can heal the outside body, he can heal your soul. That's why these amazing things happen. And God's here tonight and he wants to heal your soul. He wants to know you like a friend, like a perfect father. And we have sin in our life. We have brokenness in our life. But here's the good news. Jesus died on the cross. And if we put our faith and our trust in him, he'll take all of it. And that's the opportunity I want to give you tonight. And so if you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to have the band play. And I just want you to walk forward and just kneel up here at the stage around this. We're just going to make this like an altar before the Lord. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to be brave and bold. I want you to come out because he can heal your soul. He wants to know you like a father, like a friend. You can leave this place forever changed. So I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, if you want to give your life to Jesus tonight, I want to encourage you to come up. One, two, three. If you want to give your life to Jesus tonight, come up. You're in a safe place here. People love you here. As you see people coming, let's just clap for them. Come on, let's really cheer. Let's let these people know how happy we are for them. We'll wait just a few more seconds. I know some people, you might be coming up, and we don't want to let this minute pass by because this is the most important moment of your entire life. And if you're there and you're gripping your chair, it's okay. You can come forward. Usually we'll have the band play a song, and then I would come back out and I'd pray with you. But I just feel so strongly. I want to pray with you right now. I don't want another second to walk by without you knowing that God loves you, that he made a way for you to know him. And so if you're with me and you're a believer already, you probably pray a similar prayer to this. And for all you who are down here, if you could just look up at me. I want to lead you in a prayer. The prayer is not magical. The words aren't magical. You know what is what's going on in your heart. That's what God hears. That's what God sees. I'm going to do my best to put words to the things that are going on in your heart right now. And it's a simple confession. It's saying that, Lord, I know that I've sinned in my life, but I believe Jesus died on the cross to take my sin. I want to follow you. Wherever that means, to anywhere in the world, I'll go there. I want to follow you. And so I'm going to say this prayer. You just repeat after me for everybody else that's here. If you're like me and you've known Jesus for years, let's just repeat this together too. It's always good just to reaffirm our faith in the Lord. So if you guys would pray. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sin. I pray that you would fill me. I ask, God, that you would teach me how to follow you. God, I just confess to you that I have sinned in my life. But I believe that Jesus can take that sin. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done in my life today. And I pray that as I get to know you more, that it would become clear to me your plan for my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Guys, look up here. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have the worship team. They're going to play a song. They're going to play a worship song. And here's what I want you guys to do. Man, we're just going to worship the Lord. We're just going to worship the Lord. And in a few moments, there's some from our cast that really want to meet with you and talk with you. And we'll invite you back in just a few moments. But man, let's just worship the Lord. Worshiping God is just meaning that you lift his name higher than any other name. I don't know what's going on in your world. I don't know where you're coming from, but Jesus is greater. And so we're going to worship him and sing to him because he is greater than it all. Let's go ahead and worship the Lord together.